and procedures for implementing NEPA. In order to assure compliance with NEPA and related laws and regulations.
And could you explain what the NEPA process entails?
Sure. First, an agency files a notice of intent to prepare an EA and holds scoping meetings. Then holds the scoping meetings that identify potential project effects and concerns that would be addressed in the EA document and drafts a scoping report. Next step is to draft an EA that discusses the purpose and need, reasonable and feasible alternatives, description of the proposed action, and reviews the affected environment with impacts and mitigation of the proposed action. Then the EA is released for a 30-day comment period. Following this comment period, an EA comment report is issued with responses to comments received during the 30-day EA comment period. Then issuance of findings by the RUS. And as mentioned earlier, the RUS must also engage in a Section 7 consultation with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and Section 106 with the SHPO and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
And Mr. Hennis testified regarding the NEPA review process and the public input opportunities that were provided. And does that also include agency input as well?
Yes, as shown in Exhibit 9 and as discussed in the court order application, there have been many opportunities for input by the public, as well as federal and state agencies. As Mr. Hennis discussed, there have been about 18 meetings with over 800 people attending, and we have collected about 300 comments. For the federal, state, and local participation, we've attended interagency meetings at the Corps of Engineers office. We've attended agency scoping meetings and participated in county commissioner meetings. In consulting with the tribes, we have sent letters, hosted conference calls, hosted meetings, hosted a Missouri River and Cheyenne River crossing field review, had them review the programmatic agreement, and have offered them to monitor augering locations.
And when does Minn Kota anticipate that the RUS will issue its finding?
In the summer of 2011.
And what is the expected finding?
A finding of no significant impact or a FONSI.
And earlier, Mr. Phillips testified that the factors set forth in North Dakota Century Code Section 49-2209 were considered when selecting the project corridor. Would you concur with that testimony?
Yes, as discussed, or discussion of these factors is provided in Section 8 on pages 8-1 to 8-4 of the application.
And I want to just focus on the last two factors, and that's Section 49-2209, and that would be Subdivision 10 of that provision. And it requests information regarding any anticipated effects of selecting the proposed corridor on areas which are unique because of biological wealth or because they are habitats for rare and endangered species. In addition to the information that was provided in Section 8.10 of the corridor application, is there any other information regarding that factor that you want to provide?
Yes, in Sections 5.14, 5.15, and 5.16 of the corridor application discusses conservation measures that Minn Kota will implement in order to avoid and minimize effects to biological resources within the vicinity of the corridor. In addition, the RUS, Minn Kota, and Section 106, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service are determining the appropriate conservation measures for the federally listed species through the Section 7 consultation process. As a result, the impact of the project on vegetation, wildlife, and sensitive species is expected to be minimal.
And then with respect to Section 49-22-09, Subdivision 11, could you please discuss whether any problems or concerns were raised by federal or state agencies or local entities that were not specifically addressed in Section 8.11 of the corridor application?
I would like to address some of the comments provided by the North Dakota Parks and Department of Parks and Recreation. Since it may not be readily apparent from the application how these concerns were addressed, the department recommended selecting the southern corridor identified on the preliminary corridor map, avoiding the Cross Ranch Nature Preserve, and obtaining appropriate permits to cross any federal land and water conservation fund properties. Minn Kota did utilize the southern corridor. In addition, the proposed corridor does not cross the Cross Ranch Nature Preserve. And all federal land and water conservation fund properties have been avoided. We also spoke with the Nature Conservancy regarding their properties near the Cross Ranch Preserve and in Sheridan County, the Nature Conservancy properties are not within the project corridor, and no issues were addressed. Additionally, Minn Kota continues to consult with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service regarding the appropriate line marking recommendations.
And have any agency comments been received since the Certificate of Corridor Compatibility application was filed?
Yes, the Environmental Assessment Comment Report was issued after the corridor application. And also, we are engaged in ongoing verbal communication with various agencies, and updated information will be provided during the route permit proceedings.
And the Environmental Assessment Comment Report was previously admitted as Exhibit 20. And so could you just explain what the Environmental Assessment Comment Report is?
Yes, it's a report issued by the RUS that documents the comments and responses that were received during the 30-day EA comment period.
And again, when was the Environmental Assessment Comment Report issued?
In March of 2011.
And in your opinion, based on your study and review, the exhibits and testimony presented here today, and the siting statutes and rules, will construction of the proposed project within the proposed project corridor produce minimal adverse environmental effects?
Yes.
I have no further questions.
Mr. Sims.
I just have one question. Are the all of the recreational areas that are either identified as exclusion areas, which I don't think I can't find any, or avoidance areas, are all of those identified in, to the best of your knowledge, in table 3.1-1 of the certificate?
Yes.
And as far as the recreational areas go, I see three that are identified as avoidance areas, and that's right towards the end of the table. And all are all of those named in the or identified by name in the Exhibit 12 in the corridor maps?
Yes.
I have no further questions.
Mr. Lee?
No questions.
Questions from the commission? Commissioner Cobb?
Thank you for your testimony. Yesterday we had some questions about, or I had some questions about the comments during the 30-day EA period.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of walk through, there was, Mr. Leek testified yesterday that he'd submitted comments about the same areas that the Lady Genevieve from the Audubon Society had about that, what she called a sensitive area.
Correct.
But I reviewed his comments, Mr. Leek's, and his comments that he submitted were all about the aviation stuff, nothing about that particular area. But you heard, I think it was Mrs. Thompson's testimony yesterday. Had you heard that before yesterday?
Mr. Leek had attended some of our public open houses, and he pointed out on a map that that was a wetland complex that... And basically, that's really all he said about it.
Okay, because he didn't submit anything with wetlands. He just submitted aviation stuff. Had you heard from the Audubon
Correct.
Society before yesterday?
No.
Okay. And then I do have a question, I guess. This, it maybe have to go somewhere else, but the... I'm jumping back to yesterday again, of course. Exhibit 12J, right as you come into the substation, there's a house in there that's got the red dot that's inside the corridor. And I can't tell if that ties into comment 345, that it sounds like somebody was building a house, and then during the period of review from the EA, that then maybe that place was then designated as in the corridor. I couldn't tell if that's the house that he's talking about.
Right. I believe, and Terry Fasteen could potentially help me out, but number five, the red dot that's on Exhibit 12J,
right,
is an existing home.
So that's not the one that was under construction that this guy's talking about?
Correct.
Okay.
That's in a different location.
If somehow, your best estimate, of course that's a pretty open-ended question coming, but if we decided to change what we thought the route would need to be, how much would that throw off the environmental assessment planning? If we had to go back... You know, I understand if it's the whole route, it'd be one thing, but if it was a micro change of a couple, 3 miles, was there any way you could guess how much that would change the EA timeline?
That would really depend on the land use and
if
some of the others.
Same.
Yeah, if it's all the same land use, and there really aren't any large environmental or cultural resource issues associated with that.
What would the process be?
Right. My guess is that we would have to Well, if it's within the macro corridors as well, we would just have to contact and discuss that with.
How do you define a macro corridor?
Oh, they're late.
Back in the very beginning, those first exhibits?
Correct.
Okay, then I'm tracking. Okay, thank you. That was all I had.
Further questions from the commission? Follow up, Ms. Smith?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Sags?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Leon?
No questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hunker.
Thank you.
This is, I'm sorry, do you have anything? No.
No.
This is, I think, a good time to recess. We'll recess for, let's say, 15 minutes until 2:30. We'll resume again at 2:30. I'm also will be glad to talk to anyone who has any questions or concerns about their statement or testimony to the commission. But let me also remind you, please, if you have documents, maps, photographs that you want the commission to consider as part of the record, it would really be helpful to mark those, to see me during this recess and have those marked as exhibits, and we'll talk about how those are handled. Thank you.